Well, hello everyone, and welcome to another fun-filled edition of the Tech Doctor Podcast. I am Allison Hartley, and with me is Dr. Robert Carter himself. Hi, Robert.
Hello, Allison. Thanks for having me.
You know, as mobile device users, we all have our favorite apps that we like to use, and we are so very excited to have one of the developers of our favorite apps, Mr. Seth MacFarlane, the developer of Downcast. Welcome, Seth. Welcome to the Tech Doctor Podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Well, we appreciate you coming here. We appreciate all you've done to make such an awesome app. So why don't we start out by having you introduce yourself to our listeners and just tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Okay, well, I'm Seth MacFarlane. Did not host the Oscars. But I'm a software developer by day, kind of a Windows and web developer, my day job. And in my spare time, I run a small company called Jamaka Enterprises, basically developing Downcast for iOS devices. You know, Downcast is a podcast app. But that's basically it. That's my professional resume there.
Okay, so you actually do multiple jobs. It sounds like a day job, web design, and Downcast as a second job. I didn't realize that. Didn't know whether Downcast was enough to keep you going full time or not.
Well, it has turned into that. If I wanted to quit my day job, I would have plenty to do.
Awesome.
Downcast is has become, you know, relatively successful. You know, it's no Angry Birds or anything, but it's done much better than I ever expected it to do, and especially since I developed it basically to scratch an itch that I had, and I just wanted a podcast app that acted the way I wanted to. At the time, there was just the built-in iPod app on the iOS devices, no separate podcast app, and you had to synchronize with iTunes. And so I thought I'd give it a shot. I'd never done any kind of, you know, Mac or iOS development before. You know, I'm primarily Windows and web-based design or software, but I've always been, you know, interested in Apple products. You know, that's all I've got at home, so I thought I'd give it a shot.
So are you telling us that really you hadn't had app development experience before Downcast?
Well, you know, I'm a software developer, but no mobile development experience, and definitely no, what I develop at work is kind of more like an enterprise environment. So it's definitely not a sales situation where I've made a product that for sale or anything like that.
Okay. Well, in my book, you totally hit a home run with Downcast,
and it's right out of the park.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
You're too kind.
And it's especially amazing that it's one of your first apps that you developed in the mobile space. And for people who don't know, Downcast is an app that completely allows you to substitute the use of iTunes for retrieving and playing podcasts. And one of the things that honestly I was afraid of at first with Downcast was I was afraid because of bad experiences with not necessarily iOS apps, but with other apps on mobile devices over the years. I was afraid that Downcast would be terribly slow to download podcasts, and that if you were playing a podcast and downloading in the background, that there'd be a lot of disruption and so forth. And none of that turns out to be the case. Downcast will download, it appears to me, multiple podcasts at the same time or close to the same time. You can tell us how that works if you want, but I mean, it's fast and it's as smooth as can be. You can play a podcast just fine while more are downloading in the background. It's really amazing.
And if you're on Wi-Fi or 4G, I know I tend to stream more than download, and I don't really think I've ever had an interruption in the stream. It's incredible.
Well, I can't take credit for all that. Apple's made a pretty convenient and nice development environment to make these kind of apps. So they made it a pleasant experience for a first-time app developer.
Well, we hear different things from different developers, and I'm a big Apple fanboy, and so I listen to tons of Apple podcasts, and a lot of times there are developers on there, or at least people talking about what developers are saying, and some people say Apple's a great platform to develop in. Others say, oh, they're too restrictive, and it's too hard to get past the App Store and all that. But it sounds like, if I am getting it, your experience has been reasonably positive.
Definitely. Like maybe every iOS developer, you know, you have your run-ins with the App Store reviews and that process, and Apple can be a little opaque when it comes to full documentation on certain things. But I'm very pleased with the APIs and the tools that they give you out of the box, and the Xcode and development environment is just great. I've dabbled a little bit into some Android development, and you know what Apple provides is just above and beyond in terms of convenience and just having all the tools there to make development easy. And not to mention, they make it pretty easy to make your app kind of look like a nice professional native iOS app, rather than making you develop your own custom user interface.
So you have a lot of what you need, it sounds like, and what you need is a good idea, like Downcast was, I guess, and then obviously you need the knowledge and skills to know how to put the code together and all that, but it sounds like they made it so that it's just not, for you it wasn't terribly onerous to do.
No, it was definitely a learning experience, but a pleasant one for me. And you know, definitely the accessibility stuff that's built in is just it makes that kind of implementation just a dream.
Well, that's one thing I wanted to ask about, is Downcast is one of those apps that just works flawlessly with VoiceOver. And of course, the Tech Doctor audience, a lot of them, most of them, are VoiceOver users. And I was really curious how you did that, or if that was a lot of extra work on your part, or what it's taken to give it that accessibility.
Well, I would say it was not a lot of an extra effort on my part. A lot of the stuff, a lot of the accessibility features, kind of you get for free. Didn't have to do a thing, actually, and iOS provides it. But there are definitely a lot of areas where I needed to, augment that and make sure that the whole app was, I guess, understandable or cohesive to VoiceOver users. And I have to say, out of the gate, definitely there was some accessibility support, but I had a lot of feedback from the, on Twitter, kind of the user community, and I have a couple really helpful beta testers who are VoiceOver users exclusively, I believe, and they really guided me, in the direction I should take, and explain to me, I should, use this label here and explain this here and put them in different orders. And, I can dabble in and use VoiceOver myself, but it's I'm not kind of a professional VoiceOver user, if you know what I mean. I can navigate through the app and it sounds good to me, but somebody who uses it, day in and day out, has a better idea of how things should work, and I have to really give credit to the people who were giving me constructive feedback to guide me through that.
Yeah, we would notice a lot of the subtleties being completely dependent on VoiceOver that maybe you wouldn't notice just flicking through it to make sure that it's talking or make sure that it
works.
So it's really nice that you've had that level of feedback. I'm curious about, I love that UI where when you bring up Downcast, for people who don't know, and you have it go check your feeds, right at on the very main screen there, right at the top, there's a list of all of the unplayed podcasts. And that's right. Just so convenient, because right there is what you haven't listened to yet. And I haven't really seen other podcast apps do that exactly, and I thought that was a great idea.
Yeah, that was one of my it's turned out to be kind of a signature interface design element of Downcast. I'm not sure if nobody else did it because they didn't like it, or it just made sense to me. You know, I spent, you know, I don't know how many years listening to podcasts on Apple's iPod app, and when it came time to make my own, I really did like their interface for the most part, but I just felt like with a lot of Apple products, it's just for the, you know, they make it good enough for most people, but the person who's really kind of an enthusiast, this is how I'd want it to be. I want the unplayed or the played stuff and the empty stuff to just get out of my way, and I want to deal with my list of unplayed episodes. You know, try to get the interface out of the way as much as possible so you can delve right into the content.
Yeah, I think it is fabulous. It works great for me, and it makes it so easy. I subscribe to 63 podcasts. And, yeah. And so, you know, obviously I'm a big podcast listener, but the beauty of Downcast is it displays those that haven't been played yet right there on the screen. And the other thing I love about it is you can, in settings, have some settings that apply to all the podcasts. Then you can go into individual podcasts and tweak those settings in such a way that you don't have to have it downloading the recent episode of all 63. I can only download the ones that I really listen to on a weekly basis, and the others, when I want to go grab one, I can, but I don't have my phone cluttered with podcasts that aren't a top priority for me. So, I mean, those kind of those little additions like that just make it an A-plus piece of software as far as I'm concerned.
I agree. I don't even use my computer, my PC, or my Mac anymore to play podcasts. It's all on the iPhone and Downcast.
I'm glad you guys like it. The interface can be polarizing for, you know, some people really don't like it because it maybe doesn't work the way their mind does, but you know, I kind of made it for myself, and I'm just happy that there are people out there who also appreciate that structure that I've created there.
What does it take to have a successful app? I mean, you know, one that one can make a living from. I've always wondered, you know, since they're as inexpensive as they are, I'm not even sure what Downcast sells for on the App Store. I guess
it's $1.99 US right now.
Wow. So $2. It seems to me like you'd have to sell 200 billion of them to make any money. Does it work that way?
Over time, it's definitely increased. And I would say that, you know, at the current level, it's enough. There's enough sales that if I really wanted to, I think I could maybe quit my day job. You know, you never know how long these things are going to last. How, you know, I kind of treat it like a, you know, it could be fleeting. So, but the I'd say what it takes is, you know, I spent a long time, you know, with some meager sales, and they weren't bad, and they were, you know, better than I ever expected. But I think the key to doing well is to just be really. I consider myself really interactive on social media. You know, in Facebook and Twitter, I get a lot of I have a lot of communication with users, and just being responsive, I think, makes people so happy. Even if they have a problem with the app, if you just respond to them and acknowledge the problem or work with them on it, it kind of builds this word of mouth kind of experience where it slowly builds. And I think that, you know, I never did any real advertising or anything to promote the app. Little things here and there, but never anything major. And I just have someone mentioned Downcast on a pretty popular podcast, and it kind of snowballed from there. Just kind of a word of mouth thing. But you know, another thing I've learned just from watching others in this space is to there's no need to necessarily reinvent yourself and completely redesign the app try to generate more revenue. There's plenty of iOS users out there, new users, who, you know, I think Apple sold, I don't know, a couple hundred million of these devices. And, you know, I'm nowhere near, saturating that market. So there's plenty of people out there who haven't found out about Downcast. And the word of mouth is what's hopefully keeping it successful. It does stay up in the top news list, the top on iTunes, so that helps a lot. Gets a, you know, some visibility there.
is that mostly what Apple does for you in terms of advertising, is keep it on the advertisement page of iTunes?
Well, I wouldn't quite call it advertising page. I think that I've given up any hope of them ever kind of featuring Downcast, since it kind of directly competes with their own product. But there's the rankings for different categories. There's a top paid and top free apps, and I think based on sales, Downcast kind of stays up in there in the top 10. So just being in that top list of sales, increases more the visibility, so it kind of stays there for now.
Do you feel like Apple's, in my opinion, highly inferior new podcast app has cut into your sales at all, or has affected the sale of Downcast at all?
You know, I don't have any market research or anything like that, but when that was announced, I was pretty scared. I pretty much thought that the podcast app market was done, and I was ready to take that hit. But I have to say, since their app came out, my sales have done nothing but go up, which is surprising, and I appreciate it.
That's awesome.
I think that if anything, their app has maybe increased the visibility of podcasting in general, and when people pop into that and check out what it's all about, they may get frustrated with Apple's app and they'll go look for other, maybe better solutions.
I have to be honest and say that I've never tried Apple's app, and so I don't really know firsthand, but from everything that I hear from everyone, it doesn't have nearly the features and nearly the reliability and the solidness that Downcast has. And so I'm not surprised that a lot of people would sort of take a look at the Apple app and then look for something better.
Sure. It actually, in this scenario, it ends up being a perfect kind of relationship between Apple's products and third party like Downcast, where they'll make Apple's made an app that's perfectly usable for the casual podcast listener, and as soon as that person is reaches the limits of what that app can do, that, because the Apple's podcast app is a nice looking app, in my opinion, it's professional looking, it's got that kind of Apple touch to it, but as soon as you bump into those limitations of it, it's a perfect lead-in to go look into some third-party solutions, and there's a lot of them out there. And it means that Apple opens the door, and then third-party software developers can fill in that niche where people really want the power or the different features.
It's so ironic, because the very thing that you were afraid of, them coming out with their app, has actually ended up helping you in the end. That's just amazing.
Yeah, it surprised me. I couldn't believe it. I was kind of, like I said, I was pretty pessimistic about it when it came out. I thought they were gonna kind of kill us. But there was even a time when Apple wouldn't allow these kind of podcast apps in the store. This was a few years ago, because it theoretically duplicated functionality. But I think they've learned from that, and the fact that they let all these other apps in to compete with their own is great.
I had heard a rumor that there may be a Downcast app for the Mac someday.
That's right. We are very close. I'm working with a longtime friend of mine to develop the Mac version. We're getting real close to a beta. Hopefully in the very near future, there'll be a Mac version of Downcast that will synchronize with iOS devices through iCloud. So those who want to listen to podcasts on their computers won't have to use their iOS device to do that now, and keep stay in sync.
I've actually got my iPad and my iPhone syncing Downcast through iCloud, and it actually works pretty well. I'm kind of amazed at how well it works. I wasn't sure what it would be like, but it's not bad.
Well, I'm glad that it's working for you. Some people still have some problems with that. There's always bugs to be worked out on my end. A lot of it, I think, also is it's reliant upon the iCloud service to be working correctly. So it's always tough to decide whether the problem is on Apple's end or my end. I think it works well for the most part. I use it constantly between my iPad and my iPhone. It works pretty well for me too.
I guess you will really put it to the test when people are doing it with their Macs and iOS devices.
Yeah, it will be a test, and hopefully we'll get all those bugs worked out before we release. But that will be a big feature that's going to make, without that, it's not nearly as appealing on the desktop, because you could just use iTunes, I suppose.
Yeah, and I used iTunes for a long, long time on the desktop, and that's okay, it was even more of a pain back then than it is now, because back then you had to actually plug your phone in to sync the podcast. Now you can sync them wirelessly with iTunes, but I still think Downcast is a smoother solution at this point.
Yeah, I haven't actually had much success with the syncing of Apple's podcast app to iTunes. I haven't given it too much testing, but I'm glad to know that they maybe have some problems with iCloud syncing, just like I do sometimes.
Yeah, I don't think it's limited just to your Downcast.
No.
Yeah.
Well, I think that it's going to be a nice addition to have the Mac version when it comes along. And I wasn't sure whether that was really going to be happening or whether that was a rumor. So it's nice to hear that it's being worked on.
I haven't, kind of officially put it on a web page or anything like that. But when people ask me on Twitter, I'll mention that it's on the way. I don't want to be as secretive as Apple is about this stuff, but because I know how frustrating that can be. But I also don't want to end up over-promising on anything. So we want to make sure that we got a working product before promoting it or anything.
You may not know or you may not be able to say, but do you have any idea whether or not it will be something that will be allowed in or be available in the Mac App Store?
Yeah, that's the plan. My understanding is that you kind of have to do the iCloud syncing, we've got to sell it through the App Store.
I see.
So that is the plan. And actually, it's one of the limitations when we go to start beta testing. I know I have a lot of people who love to beta test it, but because of Apple's the way that the ecosystem is set up, we can have like a max of maybe like 100 beta testers at any time, because they've got to have special certificate signed so they can use the iCloud. It's kind of a way to bypass the App Store for beta testing. We have that same problem on the iPhone, iOS devices, where you can have at most about 100 beta testers. So, 100 sounds like a lot, but when you have a few people with multiple devices, your the number of people that you can really get your app out to before selling in an app store is pretty small. So you always kind of hope that they found everything, they found the bugs. But of all the things that really are frustrating about the developing for maybe the Mac and iOS is that pretty much a guaranteed week delay whenever you've got a bug out there and you need to fix it, you got to submit it to the App Store, and you know it's going to be about a week before it ever hits the App Store. And so people are, emailing me and complaining, and so I've got this bug, and I'm like, I submitted it to Apple, and it's in their hands. I hope it comes out soon.
Well, the one time that I've emailed you about something that I thought was a bug, I was having a problem with a Bluetooth headset not pausing, and you emailed me right back and said, that is a problem, and I've already fixed it, and it's already been submitted to the App Store. So you can't get much more responsive than that.
Yeah.
It worked out in that scenario, yeah. You had one of the somewhat easy bugs to fix.
Yeah, well, I do appreciate that. And that's one thing that you said earlier that I really agree with and value so much about the Apple products. Not just I like the hardware, and I think it's well-designed and well-done, and the software works well. But the thing that's great about it is the community. And it is a community, more I think, than I ever experienced on Windows or even with the Android device that I have. And the developers are such a willing part of that community, and it's been fabulous for those of us who are blind, because so many developers are very responsive to the requests that we have to tweak this or that to make it work a little better with VoiceOver. And I just don't know of any other electronic community quite like this. And that's one reason it's so much fun to be a part of it.
Yeah, and the, you know, everything's come together for it. You know, you've got a great device, you know, one with a completely customizable screen. You got the internet, and not just the internet. You've got all these social, media outlets where you have so much more, at least in the App Store area, interaction with these independent developers and even bigger companies, and you can talk right to them, and you know, react, and developers can react quickly. That's one of the things that lets somebody like, say, me, an independent developer, be so successful in the App Store, is that we can respond quickly to those, you know, problems and requests from the community, and we're not as slow to turn it around as, say, Apple is. I expect Apple will be pretty slow to update its podcasts app, so it gives us a leg up. And it makes users happy.
It's so different when you're dealing with a person as opposed to a corporation.
Yeah, I get one of my kind of the things that I pride myself on is I respond to every email that comes in for Downcast support, and I get so many surprised replies back that I even replied at all and that I replied so quickly, and I just hate the idea of if ever I've sent an email to support that it just goes into a black hole. And it's pretty sad that a lot of people just kind of assume that they're never going to get a response. Mm-hmm. So I try to be responsive, even if maybe I can't fix your bug, or maybe I'm not going to implement the feature that you want, and at least let you know I heard it and I'm going to consider what you said. And that makes people, that's kind of my marketing in a sense, you know, that interaction and kind of community situation that makes people, more willing to use an app that they have to pay for, even if it's as opposed to a free one.
Well, as popular as Downcast is that a pretty big job, pretty demanding on you? I assume there'd be a lot of email to respond to.
There is a good amount. I would say, you know, it's a lot for me. I'd say I'm averaging maybe 30, 35 emails a day. So I come home from work and after relaxing for a little bit, I hit the email and try to knock it out so it doesn't pile up on me. But for as many as I've sold, I think that's not too much email, and I hope that it's because there's fewer and fewer bugs that's the reason why the email isn't is overwhelming. But it could be that people just buy it and never use it, though. You know,
I doubt it. I'm really struck by your commitment to it, because you work all day and you come home and you go through the emails and fix bugs and do all the things that you have to do, and obviously work on new versions with new ideas. Sure. And all that. But I mean, wow, what a commitment you've made to this.
It is a commitment, and a part of it is this feeling that I've given people a product, or I haven't given it to them, I've sold it to them, I guess, but I kind of feel responsible if I've left them with some kind of bug or some kind of problem. And I just have this feeling that I'm, you know, I want to not annoy people. I want to make their lives easier. You know, it's supposed to be kind of a convenience thing. And if an app update or some kind of other bug is causing them problems, it bothers me. So I want to get it fixed.
Are there any other apps in the work, or any other big plans for Downcast that we haven't covered?
I am working with another friend of mine on an app, but it's not something that I'm going to put out as my own. But you know, so I've got some things going on the side here, but really with the kind of under the Jamakana Enterprises umbrella, we are just focusing on improving Downcast for iOS and trying to get a solid Mac version released. The iOS version has had a little over 2 years, I think that's right now, out there to kind of mature and gain features, and we're having to build the Mac version from scratch and try to bring it up to par with the iOS version. So that's it for now. And we get a lot of, you know, I get a lot of questions about Android or Windows Phone, you know, moving to those. And right now, I just don't have the resources to consider that. So it's really, we're just focusing on the Mac version. There's some, you know, I have a list of features that I'd still like to add. I haven't, you know, I've got pages of those. So it's kind of just deciding which ones we're going to tackle next. One I just added, and I think you just noticed it, Robert, was the concurrent downloads. It used to be Downcast only downloaded one at a time, and just in the past couple versions, I've upped that to a maximum of three. So things like that, those kind of additions, that's the migration of just improving it and adding some long-awaited features.
Seems like the iOS devices, at least the recent ones, don't have any problems handling the concurrent downloads.
Yes, definitely. That's something that I look forward to is as newer iOS devices are released, the faster they are, the better Downcast performs, which is great. I do have some people who are still using some, you know, an iPhone 3GS or some older iPod touches, and they can have some performance problems, especially with a lot of subscriptions. I get some emails from people who have, you know, north of 100 podcast subscriptions. So there's a lot of different types of users out there, and a lot of them like to push the limits of what these iOS devices can do.
Yeah. Well, I know you were saying, Allison, that you tend to stream your podcasts most of the time. I tend to just go ahead and download at least the most recent episode of the ones that I listen to most often. And I had pretty good success with streaming, but I find it really nice just to have that entire MP3 right there on the phone. Then you know your playback is going to be smooth and uninterrupted. So I guess people, it's nice you have a choice.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
That's right. And a lot of, I'm not sure if you guys subscribe to any video podcasts, but a lot of voiceover users have responded to me that they like the feature that they can play those video podcasts as audio in the background. A lot of apps won't let you play those videos while you move it to the background.
You mean you can lock the screen or press the home button and leave the app?
That's right. And continue playing a video, just the audio portion of it, obviously. But I guess some podcasts are only available as video, and I have some users who like to be able to listen to them.
Yeah.
The Apple Keynotes, for example. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. I play so few video podcasts, I didn't even realize Downcast could do that, but I have, I guess typically I've downloaded the Apple Keynotes on my Mac just because they're so large.
Yes, that's actually a good situation where you maybe want to stream it.
Yeah,
on the iOS device at least.
Do you find for most people that that streaming is pretty reliable? I mean, no, things can always happen. The internet can get disrupted.
Yeah, it's pretty good. You know, we had some I had some problems. You know, to work, we had some bugs in Downcast that would cause some streaming issues in the early days. But for the most part, it's good. Although a lot of users are really conscious about how much cellular data they use. So, you know, I have some features to prevent cellular streaming. And I do have to say that the way that the buffering works whenever you stream is, especially if you pause and come back to a stream later, a lot of times you end up technically downloading more data as a stream than you would if you had just downloaded it. But for those people who are, you know, space constrained on their device, or, you know, just, you know, have a ton of podcasts that they don't want to have all downloaded, streaming is great. Especially if you're, you know, you're trying to maybe look at the back catalog of a podcast, if you want to try to catch up and you want to get all those old ones down and start playing them. If you don't have to download them, that's nice. It's quicker than just start streaming.
Yeah. That's that. Again, that's the beauty of Downcast. Really, is there's that flexibility there that you can do so many things. And I just was recently playing with. I had a podcast in my Dropbox, and I was just able to import it into Downcast, and it just showed up as a new entry.
Right.
And, you know, so that it's just really nice to have that kind of flexibility.
And you can even, it's something also relatively new is you can, if you come across a media file on the internet anywhere, you can copy the URL to it and then import that URL directly into Downcast, either into a new podcast, you know, quote unquote podcast, or into an existing one.
Oh, that's nice.
That's great.
Yeah. The a lot of people, it's really great for a lot of podcasts. Maybe they don't include every one of their older episodes in the podcast feed. They can go to the website, get the URL for an older episode, and import it right in.
Yeah, that is nice. Well, that flexibility makes it an app that I would encourage anyone who's interested in podcasting. I mean, if you just want to listen to the Tech Doctor podcast, you know, you don't necessarily need Downcast. But if you want to branch out, you know, and listen to more than this one, which I think you might want to do, you know.
Even though we are maybe the very best.
Yeah, true.
It's worth just get Downcast just for this one podcast.
Okay, so you'll endorse it just for even one. Okay, but yeah, I really encourage people to give it a try if you haven't. And it's so freeing to be able to not be tethered to iTunes or some other podcatcher on your computer. And
you can
get those downloads really from wherever you are, as with the caveat, as Seth said, of, you know, being mindful of your data usage if you have a limited data plan. But it can be pretty addictive to be able to download the podcast. And you can even have Downcast set up so that when you start it up, it will, every how many hours you want it to, it will go out and check your feeds to see what's new and download the new episodes if that's how you have it set up. I find Downcast quite easy to figure out, and I think that's one thing that maybe people would want to know about is the setup screens and the help information is all completely friendly with VoiceOver, and I don't think most people would have a hard time getting
it. It's really intuitive.
As we come to a close, though, Seth, is there anything that you'd like to add that you haven't had a chance to say about all this?
Nothing really to add. I just appreciate you guys having me on and all the kind words you've had for Downcast. I really appreciate it, and I hope that it continues to work well for both of you and for everyone else who may try it because of this. I appreciate you bringing me on.
Thank you so much for being here.
Goodbye, Allison.
Goodbye, Robert. Goodbye, Seth.
Bye.